Some chances come along once in a lifetime. When they do, you've got to be ready. AFA Action's Center for Judicial Renewal has such a chance to help the Trump administration make good choices, nominating men and women as Supreme Court justices and other federal judges. Your gift helps make that possible, and we'll give you a free Bible study by Stephen McDowell, God's Blueprint for Life, Liberty, and Property, as a thank you gift. Visit afaaction.net today. afaaction.net.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. It is May the 5th, Cinco de Mayo. Maybe you don't know what Cinco de Mayo is. It's a holiday that commemorates the Mexican Army's victory over the French at the Battle of Pueblo in 1862. And he said, man, Pastor Jeff, how did you know that? Well, I just looked it up because I didn't know that. I know about Cinco de Mayo, but I didn't know what it was celebrating. So I wanted to read to you this morning from Colossians chapter 3, beginning in verse 23. The Bible says, whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Christ whom you serve. We want to talk today about making a difference at your place of business, making a difference at work, and the importance of leadership. I'm sitting across the table this morning from my friend Ricky Dixon. Ricky has been on the program before. He is the retired CEO and president of Bluebell Creameries in Brenham, Texas, the little creamery in Brenham. And Ricky wrote a book called One Scoop at a Time, Stories and Lessons from Fear to Faith. And he has a career of seeing God do great and mighty things in his life as he was faithful in the assignment that God gave him. So, Ricky, welcome to the program today.
Well, thank you very much, and good morning. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, so we had Ricky this morning or yesterday morning at First Baptist. He and his beautiful wife Anita came in, and we're having an event tonight at First Baptist Texarkana at 6:30. If you live in the area, we'd love for you to come out and be a part of this. We're calling it "Making a Difference at Work," and we're going to have a Bluebell ice cream dessert with where you can make sundaes or banana splits. But we have lots of Bluebell ice cream, and then we're just going to have a Q&A and take questions from the floor and things like that. It's just kind of fun. But the emphasis is going to be, how do you make a difference for the Lord at your job? And one of the big ways is to work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men. So, Ricky, your career, you started out in 1981, graduate of Baylor University with a degree in marketing. And you take your first job, sales job.
Right.
For Bluebell Creameries, and it really was the little creamery in Brenham in 1981.
It definitely was, especially where we're at today. But we try to keep that same philosophy, though, even today. As someone asked me the other day, how many acres of land do y'all have to make your ice cream? And I said, at least two. So maybe a little bit more than that. But yeah, I think when I was able to step in and jump on, I should say, with the company, it was just a really exciting time. Even though we started in 1907 as a butter company, 1958 we stopped making butter, focused on ice cream. 1960 went into Houston. 64 we went into Austin. And then it wasn't until 1978 that we went into the Dallas-Fort Worth market, and I came in just after that. So,
okay, when you're a company like Bluebell and you go into a brand new market, a big city, let's say Dallas, because you were part of that kind of initial 1981 going there, how difficult is it to break into that, to a market like that?
Yeah, that's a great question. And luckily, we had some consumer demand already building. So when you can't get a product, and so you start asking for the product, you start getting those phone calls. And so I think those calls help pave the way. But at the same time, if you're kind of an unknown, and back then, well, there was a lot of different ice cream companies, so you're fighting just for shelf space, just to get the product on the shelf. It's very tough.
Okay, so in 1981, when you started as a young guy out of college, gung-ho, sales rep. Were there players in the game that aren't in the game now?
Oh, many were players, and things have shifted too in the way of companies buying other companies out. Mm-hmm. But yes, you may remember the brand Borden's Ice Cream. Mm-hmm. Borden's was a nationwide brand that no longer is out there, or if it is, it's very small. But Breyers was making its way across the country, and I think came into the market soon after we did. Mm-hmm. And so you have a lot of shifting around. Our going to market was unique in the fact that we were direct store to delivery. We mm-hmm. make the product, we transport it on our own trucks, bring it to our own distribution centers, and then we put it on our bobtail trucks to go to the store. Back then, a lot of ice cream companies did that. Today, you don't see that near as much.
Just because of the scale
cost
needed?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's an expensive model, but ice cream is probably the most delicate item in the grocery store, if you think about it. We kind of keep it around, well, we keep it at minus 18 degrees. Mm-hmm. And so if you're minus 18 and you bring it out even at 0 degrees, your ice cream's starting to go through a heat shock or a melting process. Mm-hmm. And so we just felt like we're going to take it to the store, put it on the shelf. If we could take it home with you and keep it, you know, minus 18 all the way to your home freezer, that would have been mm-hmm. the most ideal, but obviously that doesn't work. But
right.
It's an expensive model to actually to do it that way.
Yeah, we never really think about it. At the grocery store, I don't know what they're keeping their freezers at when you open the door to get some ice cream.
Yeah, we actually monitor that too. We actually had an in-house program that we would go in and not just the freezers on how they maintained that temperature, but how long their defrost cycles were going. And it's really to help the store, because mm-hmm. if ice cream is melting over a period of time, it's changing the quality of the product. And so today you'll see a lot more, if not all, upright freezers. And compared to back when I started, there were a lot of what we call a coffin case, mm-hmm. where you reach down into the
right.
coffin. A lot of things can be kept at minus or just 20 degrees or 10 degrees. They don't necessarily have to go down that cold. Mm-hmm. But the upright doors really changed how ice cream was kept, and we like it that way.
Well, so if a grocery store does something that gets up too high or something like that, and then I buy your ice cream, I don't know that.
That's
I just
correct.
Know that, well, this wasn't very good.
Yeah,
and then it reflects poorly on whatever the supplier, whoever
absolutely.
The supplier is.
No, that's because you're the end result. So that's why we like the direct store delivery method, because we can actually go in and see. We still have a window at the top of every carton, so you can see the quality. Has it pushed away from the window, meaning that it's actually shrunk down? And then we'll pick that product up and get it out of the store and bring fresh product in, mm-hmm. in the case if it has heat shocked or melted down.
Right.
So.
I'm just curious. So when you guys make a batch and however many containers, what's the acceptable attrition on that, as far as, okay, we had to dump this because it got too hot or whatever?
Well, when you're making ice cream to start out every morning, the process is taking a product that's around 35 to 40 degrees and getting it down to about 21 to 22 degrees as it goes into the carton. So usually at startup, to make sure it is that cold and it's the product in the weight that you're looking for, you'll have some product that will not make it into a carton.
Mm-hmm.
But we try to keep that very, very minimum. And then at the end of the day, the same type of thing. When you're running the end of that run out, you'll have some left over, but it hopefully is very, very minute. It's just when you're making, on one line of operation, you can be making anywhere from 25 to 27,000 half gallons in a day.
Oh, wow.
So it's a lot on one line.
Okay, so if I'm working on a line at Bluebell, am I at the end of my shift or whatever, is there ice cream for me that just you can't sell for whatever reason, and it's not just being thrown away or people eating it, or how does that work?
No, you can eat all you want while you're there, but it's whatever. We'll actually take the ice cream and put it in the employee break rooms, and
okay.
They're different flavors that they can eat from the break room, or they can go to our ice cream parlor where we have, gosh, as many as 32 different flavors.
Yeah.
But that ice cream doesn't, no.
And that's not open to the public?
The ice cream parlor is, absolutely.
Oh, it is? Okay.
Oh yeah, absolutely. We'll have about 250,000 people go through. And
that's
just,
at Brenham?
That's in Brenham. That's mm-hmm. correct, yeah. But no, we test every single thing that we make today. from what our adventures that we went through back in 2015. Right. But until that product is tested, no one eats that product. And so,
okay, you and I were talking about this because when we talked at the NRB, you know, I told you about working for Nalco Chemical Company, and you had a big boiler there at Brenham. And so I was trying to get the water treatment business there, and you guys were considered for us. That was a good, big account, good account. Sadly, I didn't get it, but I've come back from that.
I wish we'd have known each other. Not that that would work anymore. I was a marketing major.
They took me to the room where I guess it was the employee break room where the ice cream was warmer. It was almost like a soft serve.
Right.
And they said, this is the best.
Yes. What they did is they went down on the floor and got some ice cream right out before it's frozen, meaning that it's around 21, 22 degrees. Mm-hmm. And you're correct. That's manna from heaven. I'm telling you, it's incredible how it's never been frozen. So, you take your fresh cream and your milk and all those fresh ingredients that have never been really taken into the freezing process. And the taste explodes in your mouth. It's just incredible.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay. So when you started at you're 22?
I think it's 21.
21 years old.
Actually, got out of college a little early, on a mission.
Yeah.
So wrote a paper while I was at Baylor on that little creamery down in Brenham, Texas, and the paper while I was there, what I saw, really was. So much more than ice cream. It really was a culture that I thought people really truly want to be here, and mm-hmm. they knew that they were making more than ice cream. They truly were making memories. And so I went back. I thought, I'm going to try this. I was looking at either advertising or public relations or ice cream. Mm-hmm. And I thought, even after I applied and they offered me a job, I had no idea. I remember talking to my parents. They said, well, what are you going to do? And I said, I don't know, but we're going to go have fun. And so thankful that I chose that path.
Okay, so the first gig out of school, are you the direct guy that's making sure this stuff is getting in the stores and things are shelved right and all that stuff?
What we have is called a branch location, and in the branch you'll have three or four territory managers, and I was one of those. And so I had a quarter of the pie of the territory that was out there. And so, you're calling on supermarkets, convenience stores, restaurants, schools, and you're making sure either if there are already product in the store that the product's in great shape, or you're trying to get more space to get more products in or promote the product. I mean, there's a lot of variety of things, but you're really developing relationships. You're there to take care of that store, to take care of that customer all the way through. The consumer's the end. So we have customers that would be the store, and then the consumer's the one that buys it. But we want to make sure that the consumer gets what they're looking for, especially if we have it in stock.
Okay, so if I'm a grocer, I'm Kroger.
Okay.
All right, I'm buying Blue Bell ice cream. And so is that like a consignment deal, or do they buy it outright? I'm buying X number of gallons and I'm paying for that, and then it's on me whether I have to throw it away or whatever.
Right. Now, yes, they buy it. When we come through the back door, we'll check it in, invoice it, and then they will purchase it. At the same time, if something happens to the product while it's in the store, if it's someone picks it up, walks around, it melts, or it just doesn't look right, we'll pick that up at full price and then bring another half gallon in to replace it. So I want to say it's guaranteed sales, but at the same time, it's not a consignment type. It's done through the back check-in where you bring the product in.
So when you had that first job, Ricky, did you enjoy doing that, calling on all those different people?
I did. I love people. Absolutely. I was single at the time, and there was a bunch of us. I don't want to say that we're all single. That sounds wrong, but we saw the opportunity. Things were happening in just a crazy way. Cookies and Cream came out, and it was like this new wave of, oh my gosh, Cookies and Cream. And so, they were long hours, but you just didn't care. I mean, I know that sounds crazy, but there was a lot of nights that I get home 9 or 10 o'clock at night, ready to go the next day, and I loved it, absolutely loved it.
Did you ever think in those early days that, hey, one day I might be the president and CEO here?
You know, I think it's always real important to have dreams. And so when you look at the big picture or the scale of things, you can't help but say, okay, well, maybe one day I'll run a branch or be a branch manager. And then maybe one day there's that opportunity. But I will say with the Cruzies that ran the company for up to 100 years,
right?
Being president and CEO was never, that was just not something that I thought about.
Yeah, you were the first non-family member to be the president and CEO.
From 1919 to 2017, there was that window of the three generations. And so, I knew then when I was being asked that this was from God, this was a God thing. And I really treated it that way.
Yeah.
I wanted to stay as humble as I could, but as confident, because I had been trained in an incredible way too. So
very good. Well, we're talking to Ricky Dixon, and his new book is One Scoop at a Time. And he's the former CEO of Bluebell Creameries. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We'll be right back. Preborn is there for hurting mothers and at-risk babies, standing strong in the darkest corners of our nation. By sponsoring an ultrasound, you can be there too. One ultrasound is just $28 and doubles a baby's chance at life. Please donate your best gift to save more babies at preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here talking to Ricky Dixon. Ricky is the retired CEO of Bluebell Creameries. Bluebell is the well-known ice cream manufacturer in Brenham, Texas. They also have a plant in Sylacauga, Alabama. I've been to Sylacauga and the Purcell family, and Tim Wildman was so gracious to invite Debbie and me out there for a big AFR event. And then the other plant is where, Ricky, in Oklahoma City?
Broken Arrow, Oklahoma.
Okay.
Which is just outside of Tulsa.
Okay. Very good. All right. So let me ask you this, because we want to talk about how you can make a difference at work, how you can put your faith into action at work. And you're a Christian guy, became a Christian when you were a young guy.
That's right.
Growing up. So you come into the business world and it's like, okay, here I am. I have faith and I have a job, and how do I meld those two together? Because some people will say, well, you have to make compromises in business, especially in sales. I remember when I was selling for an alcohol chemical company, the question came up, well, what do you do if a customer wants you to take them to a strip joint? And their attitude was, well, you just go. And I was like, I'm not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Did you run into some situations like that? Of course, Bluebell's not advocating you take guys to strip joints, I wouldn't think.
No, but that actually did happen to me with a customer that was from out of town, and then I graciously said, that will not happen with me. We'll go to dinner, we'll have a nice dinner, but that's where I draw the line.
Uh-huh.
And I think that is a great question, and one that I do get asked quite often. And what I try to explain is, first and foremost, know where you're at. I love Romans 12. I love that whole journey of first start, offer yourself as a living sacrifice, mm-hmm. holy and pleasing to the Lord, and get into the mindset of what God wants. Because if you really want to know what His true will is for your life, you've got to be locked into what He has planned.
Mm-hmm.
And then go through all the different verses from really all the way from knowing that you're not any better than your employees, that mm-hmm. you're all there for a purpose, you all have a function. Love them like you know, there's no tomorrow. Work like there's no tomorrow,
mm-hmm.
and pray. And so I really was taught early on that your actions are going to speak your faith a lot more than your words. And my parents taught me that, the way I answer things, the way I live my life. And so I start there, because they hear you before they hear you. Actually, they see you before they hear
right,
you.
Right.
And so they want to know how genuine you are, and not necessarily by your words, by how you treat them.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you share the love of Christ, you're going to separate.
Mm-hmm.
And through that, and I'm not saying that people that don't know Christ can't love, but mm-hmm. at the same time, when you put others before yourself, when you treat them, just as the commandments, love your neighbor as yourself. But more importantly, when the time comes, when things do get tough, Now they're looking at you from a different perspective and how you handle those times,
right.
especially, where you gravitate to, okay, this is the issue. This is how we're going to tackle it. So I want to be an open to be approachable. I would make a point, I don't care who you are at any point in time, if you need me, I'm going to be available for you. And I think that building that foundation allows you then, if the question does come up, well, what makes you different? Or why do you look this way? Because you're going to be making some very tough ethical questions. You know, you never know what you're going to be approached with and or faced as you walk through the door. But if you're prepared ahead of time for those biblical foundational principles, doing the right thing, then from that point on, everything falls into place. And then you have the opportunity, if they so ask, what makes you different or why do you go this direction? But the last thing you want to do is talk the talk, but you're not walking the walk.
Yeah, very good. Okay, so when you're selling something like ice cream, that is very, I mean, people have, I like this kind, you know, and I'm going to buy this kind. How much does the salesman make a difference in that kind of arena? Because obviously you distinguished yourself among the other guys because you were getting promoted and maybe they weren't. What would you say was the thing that made you stand out in the minds of your bosses?
Wow. Boy, you asked some good questions. I wish they were here to answer those. some would say the willingness to move, because I did move throughout the career at the same time. You know, we have a lot of great employees, and so I don't want to sound like, okay, I'm doing this and they're not. At the same time, I think that the vision that the company had and the direction that we were going and the willingness at the same time, I think really does help get the thing started. At the same time, I love the product. I believed in the product. And so the combination of both of those and then the people to being able to step in and say, okay, here's the vision. Now we're going to strategically plan on this is the path that we're going to take to get what we need to do. It just was a great chemistry that did lead to doors opening.
Ricky, do you think that a person could be successful, let's say ice cream sales or moving up the chain, if you didn't like ice cream?
If you didn't like ice cream, I would recommend that you find something that you have a passion for, because I think it would be very difficult to go in and really truly explain what differences there are. As we talked about earlier before the show, if you're eating ice cream, that's fantastic. I really honestly, whatever brand, whatever flavor, because as long as you're eating ice cream, I have a chance.
Yeah.
If you're not eating ice cream, then it makes it a lot tougher. But in all seriousness, there are so many different ways you can make ice cream, and what makes not just the product itself, but why does yours cost more than someone else's and all the dynamics that go into it. And it's technical. You can't put it in a 30-second commercial. But there are a lot of differences between the brands and the flavors and all the things that go into it that are in the market today. But you have to enjoy doing what you're doing. And that was my prayer. I don't care if I'm in the sales side of things. I actually ran our production facility for 6 years in Broken Arrow. And when they asked me to step into that role, I thought, I'm a marketing journalism major, and you're wanting me to run an ice cream plant. But they weren't saying, I want you to make it. They said, I want you to lead the team to make it. So my role is to learn and to do everything that the employees were doing there, and then assist them and help them be the best that they could be. So collectively, we could be the best that we could be. So. And part of that's testing the product, make sure it's okay.
Yeah. Yes, we have two big paper mills here in the Texarkana area. And so we've had several guys that have worked for the paper mills that now work for us. And, you know, paper manufacturing is very technical.
Absolutely.
The engineering for that is unbelievable. And I would ask, I said, okay, well, plant manager, you know, that's the top dog at the paper mill. As far as that plant goes, you know, what background does he have? You know, if you have a business background, if you have an engineering background, and it seems to me when something's very, very technical, if you don't have a manager, plant manager that's on the engineering side, it would be hard to respect him.
Right.
Because you're like, he doesn't know how any of it, you know, if he's just a bean counter, you talked about a lot of MBAs have an accounting background. So you look at numbers, but you don't necessarily look at, well, what does it take to get there, you know? And so that had to be a daunting situation when they said, Ricky, you take over this plant, because you don't have a background in that.
That's correct. But I think the beauty of it is seeing the talent that was there. I was already there just in the role of on the sales side of things. Mm-hmm. But the talent that we had there, the engineers that you described, the thing you have to do is to build their trust. Mm-hmm. And again, walking in the room that first day, I never will forget their face when I said, okay, here's the game plan. I'm now going to be leading us as we move forward. And just that expression you just described beautifully, like, what in the world is going on? But it's to build a trust and to walk beside them. Again, if I remember my maintenance manager was changing the oil on screw compressors on one of the weekends. I said, I'm there. What do I need to do? And he goes, you just stand right beside me and I'll tell you when I need you. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm there. And then not to learn his job, to take over his job, but to lead, to help him. Mm-hmm. How can I assist you? What will help you be better at what you do? And when they saw that it was a non-threatening, that I'm not coming in to show you that I know it all, because I didn't.
Right.
Even day one when I started, the team that I had already been there. So I'm right out of college. I don't know. I mean, I know ice cream's good, but that's about the extent of it. But just say, let's do this together. We can have a lot of fun. And I think it takes time. But when you stay humble but confident, look, we've got this. They put me here for a reason. They put you here for a reason. Now let's do it together.
Right.
Man, I love that family of employees. Since I worked all over from Texas to Oklahoma to Kansas City and back to Oklahoma, now and then I finished up in Texas. Every area, every branch, every plant obviously had a family of employees, and they were all very special.
So when you were plant manager, how many employees did you have?
There was around 200 in Broken Arrow when I was in Broken Arrow.
Okay, so let's talk about this, Ricky. As a boss, you know, you have a lot. You're a boss in a lot of different situations. Until you finally went up to the very top, you're a boss of everything. Dealing with difficult situations with employees that aren't cutting it, those can be uncomfortable. You're a nice guy, but you can't just be nice and hey, I just love everybody. And you know, I mean, on the business side of things, it's like, hey, I like you, but this isn't working. How did you handle those situations?
Again, a great question, and one that I think that we should be asking ourselves all the time, because I think working for a company that is a family, it kind of separates yourself from being in just a company, just an employee. I've seen bosses, per se, that treat employees as just that. That way they don't break whatever the barrier. But I think the quicker you can handle that, and when I say this, when you identify someone's not in the right spot or they're not performing in the manner in which you think they either should or could, mm-hmm. you have to have that honest conversation as quick as you possibly can mm-hmm. and start trying to navigate a plan through that. It's delicate, but what I have learned, the quicker you handle it, it not only helps the individual, mm-hmm. it helps all those that are around the individual, because they're frustrated because the employee himself. We always say, if the employee were to leave, how does the atmosphere around them now view the situation?
Right.
And if they're throwing a party, then you've let it go too long. And so just being honest. Again, we go back to, you should have a passion for what you do. Not everything that I did. I mean, mm-hmm. I'll be honest, some of the positions were more task related. Mm-hmm. But the end result, I look at truly as God's molding, shaping, making, just like the potter with clay on a the potter's wheel.
Yeah.
At some point, I see God, what you're doing in my life.
Yeah.
And it all comes back to the center to say that you had me in control the whole entire time. I just couldn't see it from where I was sitting.
Did you have any times during your career, Ricky, where you thought, maybe I should see what else is out there?
You know, honestly, I never did. There were some moments and times. In fact, I describe in the book the moving to Oklahoma. I was thinking more so from a promotional standpoint, and when that didn't take place, when the call finally came that I thought it was going to take place, it was actually just the opposite. It was one of those where they were sitting me down to say, "Look, these are the things that we thought you were going to be doing, and you're not." And these are the things that, if you're going to move to the next level, you better start implementing. And so when I went back to the hotel room, we were in an annual meeting type or biannual meeting, I remember sitting on the bed saying, God, I moved up here. I thought, you know, I was, you know, I followed you here. You, mm-hmm. This is where you led me. This is the door you opened. I thought that, you know, I've done everything you've asked for me. And as clear as I can tell you, even though it wasn't audible, he said, I didn't bring you to Oklahoma for your promotion. I brought you to Oklahoma for my purpose.
Oh,
and
wow.
I never will forget that. I sat there. Was I still angry? Yeah. I won't lie. But I realized if the God of the universe thought that much, that he had a plan for me, mm-hmm. and the company thought that much to sit me down to say, look, we thought, you know, these were the things you were doing, and you're now not doing those things.
Mm-hmm.
And they weren't letting me go. They were trying to get me back to where they thought I should be.
Were they right?
Oh, they were absolutely right. Mm-hmm. And I would say, not consciously, I didn't realize I drifted. Mm-hmm. But when you get into that groove and you think, you know, this is working pretty good, and you seem to drift away.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfully, I had a boss who actually loved the Lord too, but he was very straightforward to say, look, you need to get back to center.
Mm-hmm.
It changed me, because at that point, God, whatever it is, I'm all in. I go back to the word passion.
Mm-hmm.
When that promotion finally came, I'm in the plant now running the plant when someone else actually got the promotion. But I'll tell you, I couldn't have been more happy doing what I was doing, because mm-hmm. I knew I was doing, goes back to the scripture you started mm-hmm. with. I was loving walking the floor, visiting with the employees, but more importantly, seeing the vision, working the strategic plan to meet the vision, and mm-hmm. doing it in a way that embraced the culture that was there. And so obviously 20 years down the road, when they say, would you now step into the role of president? I look back and say, wow, if I hadn't had those 6 years running that side of the company,
sure.
I would not be in a position today to be stepping into running the company overall. And so
yeah.
Go back to the potter's wheel.
Yeah. Well, so we do our work heartily as unto the Lord. It's the Lord Christ whom we serve. I think people need to remember that. You might have a job that you don't, you know, it's not super exciting. You know, a lot of line type work, you know, in manufacturing can be monotonous. Some people enjoy it, but others it can be hard. When I work for an alcohol chemical company, I liked about 50% of the job, and the other 50% is just hard. But who are you doing it for? Are you doing it for the paycheck? Are you doing it for your boss? Or are you doing it for the Lord? And so when you put it in that perspective, it helps you to gain, this is what I'm here for. You know, I think about, Ricky, about Joseph in the Old Testament. Mm. Did he want to be Potiphar's slave? No. Did he want to be in the prison? No. But he always said, okay, well, Lord, this is where you have me. I'm going to bloom where I'm planted. And he made such a difference.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Great story.
Well, we're talking to Ricky Dixon. Ricky is the recently retired CEO of Bluebell Creameries. He retired at the end of 2023.
Actually, it was March of 24.
24.
We stayed on the new CEO that came in. We stayed a few extra months just to navigate through those initial waters. But it was an incredible career.
Amen. So when we come back from the break, we're going to open the phone lines. If you have a question for Ricky, we would love to take your question and talk to you. The number to call is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. And the book is called One Scoop at a Time, Stories and Lessons from Fear to Faith. You can go on Amazon and pick that up. It'll be a blessing to you. And we are up against a break, but we'll be right back with your calls. Don't go away.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here, talking to Ricky Dixon. Ricky is the former and retired CEO and president of Bluebell Creameries. I'm looking at the cover of his book, One Scoop at a Time, Stories and Lessons from Fear to Faith. That was a great read. I finished that several weeks ago, and enjoyed getting to meet Ricky and Anita at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention at the end of February. And Ricky is in town today, and actually came in for church yesterday, spoke to the congregation, and he's going to be speaking tonight. He just spoke briefly yesterday morning. But tonight we have an event called Making a Difference at Work. If you live in the Texarkana area, we'd love for you to come. We're going to meet at 6:30, 6:30 to 8. We're going to have Bluebell ice cream sundaes. We have vanilla and chocolate and cookies and cream and strawberry, I think, the main flavors. We didn't want to go too exotic if we're going to add toppings and things like that.
That's true.
But you can sign up online at fbctexarkana.org, or you can just call us, 903-831-6000. Call the church and let us know that you're coming. And we have a copy of the book for you. There is a slight cost for that, but copy of the book. And we're just going to have a great time doing a Q&A and then taking questions from the floor. Ricky and I will be talking for a little while, and then we'll just open it up to questions. And we're doing that now on the program. So if you have a question for Ricky, we've been talking about leadership. We've been talking about serving the Lord wherever you work. You know, sometimes we get into the idea of ministry versus, you know, secular versus sacred. But, hey, most people don't work at the church. Most people aren't, on the mission field in terms of a vocation. And so you're mixing it up with rubbing shoulders with people all day long that aren't going to church. You are salt and light, and you're supposed to make a difference there. And so the number to call is 888-589-8840. And we have Scott on the line from Mississippi. Scott, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, Pastor Jill and Brother Ricky.
Well, good morning.
We love our bluebell here in South Central and all of Mississippi, but especially here in the Pine Belt, South Central Mississippi. I'm a patron of one of our community family-owned grocery chains called Corner Market, and we load up with bluebell. And it's just like you explained. It happens just as turnkey as you explained it, Brother Ricky. Just wanted to know, kind of was battling which question to ask between the history of how a fledgling company made it through the Depression and wartime, but I really think maybe the economics, the more contemporary economics of how you know when the company's right size or needs to expand or needs to contract. I know y'all went through some real crisis with the Listeria stuff, and then also how the tariffs, the possibility of tariffs have affected decisions being made in the corporate office, and maybe how we might see them play out in the marketplace.
Well, great questions, all three, really. I'll start quickly on the first. Back then, being that we were pretty much just a butter company making very, very little ice cream, back in the early 1900s, you didn't have a way to transport ice cream, didn't have home freezers. And so you did have local dairies throughout the country that you would get your dairy from. But as we have grown as a company, you just nailed the philosophy is don't grow too fast, or only grow at the pace that you can maintain the quality. Mm-hmm. And so today we're only in 23 states out of the 50. We will take on a new market when we feel like we can adequately do that, mm-hmm. not just with a product for the new market, but not necessarily make ourselves get too thin with the rest of the markets in which we are in. So it's a very slow, I use this a lot. We used to use it all the time. I'm learning that it's not a saying that is used today, but our president, Howard Cruzy, would say it's a cinch by the inch. Mm-hmm. But hard by the yard. Mm-hmm. And I thought, you know, again, that's just been ingrained in me, is to take it one step at a time and don't, as a salesperson, I want to sell as all that I can. I want to just grow as fast as you can. And as a production person, if I take that hat on, whoa, let's make sure we're not growing mm-hmm. so fast that we're having to even think about compromising, or we're pushing the machine too hard. And so you want that even pace, and even what we went through with the issue back in 2015 with Listeria, as mm-hmm. we came back, we wanted to do it step by step and take that approach to make sure we're not getting too far ahead of ourselves. Since I've been retired for over a year, right at a year, I have not been in the room to listen to the to the tariff talks. Luckily, the cows haven't been hit yet. So our main ingredient, obviously, the milk and the cream, is from pretty much local. Mm-hmm. We use anywhere from 50 to 60,000 cows a day on wow. a regular and, you know, every day of the year basis. And so there are some things that we do bring in, and you ask a very good question. I need to ask that question myself. I've just tried to enjoy my book instead.
Ricky, does Bluebell go upstream to say, hey, let's get cows and let's get our own milk and stuff like that? Or are they buying it?
No, we just decided way back. That's one of the questions, because we did do a, I mean, we try to do everything we can just to separate ourselves from the others, mm-hmm. meaning that you have your own taste and your own, from bakery to cows. But the cows, we just felt like that's a whole different game. Mm-hmm. And to get into that arena, we're able to, when the milk comes in, test and whatever, and if it's to the standards, then it's great. But it's just a whole lot easier to do it that way. That's a company in itself. Mm-hmm. And so we never have gone down that path.
Are the plants getting raw materials every day?
Every day. Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Well, like I said, transports are waiting every morning with milk as they come in, mm-hmm. and depending upon what we're making in the season. You know, cows tend to not produce as much milk in the summer because of the heat, mm-hmm. and yet that's our peak time. So you have to balance those two things out. So in the wintertime, when you're actually able to get maybe more production, it's an interesting balance, but one that's somewhat predictable. So,
well, I would think because milk can go bad, obviously, but you got to be turning that pretty fast.
You need to turn it fast. Yeah. Yeah, you sure do. On a regular, I mean, you usually are bringing it in, and you're taking it right out as quick as you're bringing it in.
Wow.
But Scott, thank you for that question. And thank you for your support, and more than just a consumer, but also a customer way.
Scott, what's your favorite flavor of Bluebell?
I'm one of these varieties of the spice of life, and so I like to try different ones, but it's hard to beat Rocky Road, but it's also, you know, I love the Neapolitan as well, so it's hard to find a flavor that I don't like. And my in-laws used to have a Dairy Queen, so I'm a plain ice cream guy, but I love to dress it up like you guys are going to do it at the church, and you can't lose when you got ice cream in front of you.
That's great. That's for sure. Well, thanks for calling in, Scott. I appreciate it. We have Sue on the line from Maryland. Sue, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hi, I was just curious if, and maybe he can't answer this after he answered the last caller, but with the MAHA movement coming and just trying to keep America healthy, we don't get it up here in our area, but do you guys adhere to, like, if you have any of the dyes or the additives or preservatives, is that something they'll be looking at, or do you already comply with all that kind of stuff?
Most of the products do comply with that. There are a few flavors that we do have that do have dyes. A lot of times when you're adding inclusions that come in the you know, particular, whether it be a cake piece or whatever it is that you're actually mm-hmm. adding to it. But when that discussion started, immediately you want to make sure you're not behind the scene. You're ahead of it. So again, not being there for a year, I'd love to be the fly on the wall now, or at least be in the room in that discussion. But yeah, you know, we truly believe the product that is as safe as it possibly can, but at the same time, if things are shifting when it comes to that, then we're definitely wanting to be in compliance with it, whether we agree or disagree.
Okay, Ricky, so a flavor like birthday cake, or I think you have wedding cake too, in addition
yes.
to birthday. So you're actually baking this stuff.
We did up until 2015, but now we're actually having different bakeries make those according to the recipes that we used.
Okay.
So, yes, there are recipes, but we're not actually the ones producing those.
Yeah, because I was thinking, you know, then you get into another ball game. Now we become a bakery.
Yes.
In addition to a creamery.
That's right.
Which you're really not a bakery.
Yeah, we did bake all kind of things, from the wafers on our sandwiches, uh-huh. ice cream sandwiches, to inclusion pieces, to the cookies that went into cookies and cream. But again, when we ramped up testing in such a dramatic way, and from the environmental testing to the final product testing, and we just decided that let's focus on the product and the ingredients. So when the ingredients come in, we're doing a very aggressive testing program to make sure.
Yeah.
And then from a taste standpoint, but if we did, you know, if you have your own bakery, then you control a lot more. At the same time, it's another huge expense that you have
yeah.
to do, and you have to weigh those two out.
Boy, it makes the plant smell great.
Boy, it does. It does.
Yeah.
The neighbors would always say, y'all are making cookies today, aren't you? Depending upon which way the wind was blowing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, there was a Nabisco cookie plant. I forget where it was, but it shut down. And the town was just like forlorn, you know. It's like, man, we don't have that smell.
It just would incredible.
Waft off yeah. that place. Well, thank you, Sue. I appreciate that. It was a good question. Larry from North Carolina. Larry, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you and good morning.
Good morning.
Ricky, I wanted to ask you about a specific flavor that I'm pretty sure Bluebell makes, which is mocha almond fudge.
Yes. You're probably asking when you're going to see it again.
Well, there's an ice cream store in our town that serves it by the dip, and they buy it in 5-gallon containers. I think that's what the size is. But I can't find it, like, on the shelf in the grocery store in a 0.5-gallon.
Yeah, it's a great question, and I will tell you that it's a similar question that my wife asked me about one of her favorite flavors.
Texas Two-Step.
Well, Cookie Two-Step is a nationwide flavor.
Yeah, but should have been Texas Two-Step.
She tried. The mocha almond fudge is a popular flavor, but not extremely popular. Coffee in itself is a very distinguished taste,
right.
And so we will rotate flavors with coffee in and out. The mocha almond fudge does come in, and I want to say it's usually at the beginning of the year. Again, now I'm trying to use memory to aid me. You'll find it in an ice cream parlor quicker, because in an ice cream parlor you have to have a huge variety of flavors,
right.
Because that's all you do. And so we do the same thing. We go, her favorite flavor is chocolate on marshmallow. We also love salted caramel brownie. And right now we don't have that flavor out. And so I'm looking for the ice cream parlor to go in to get my fix of that flavor. But it's a great question, and it's a hard question, because there's a lot of flavors that do good. They're good tasting, you know, flavors, but as far as sales, there's others that go beyond, and so you have to balance out which ones to rotate in and out. But
yeah.
I appreciate your support on it. That is a great flavor.
Yeah, very good.
Myers used to make that flavor, and it went away, but when I saw it at Bluebell, man, my wife, we hit that place up all the time for that particular flavor, yes.
Well, we appreciate it very, very much.
Well, thank you, Larry. Thanks for calling in. We have Sue on the line from Louisiana. Sue, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I feel like this has been an answer to my prayers, so I'm so glad I am listening to Mr. Dixon this morning. I have a question about an ingredient that is found in Bluebell ice cream. There is an ingredient that I'm seeing in a lot of dairy products called carrageenan, carrageenan. And I've looked it up on the internet, and it says that it's an irritant to the gut, to the intestines, that it can, you know, cause problems. And also on the internet, it says it is a possible carcinogen, that it can cause colon cancer. And so my question, I love Bluebell ice cream. It is my favorite ice cream. Why would Bluebell and in any of these other products that are like cottage cheese, sour cream, yogurt, why are y'all putting carrageenan in your product? And is there anything else you can use as a substitute for that?
That's a great question, and I do appreciate it. I wish I was the R&D expert to give to the real fine details of it. But I will tell you, you can pretty much look up anything and get that type of answer. So you have to be careful, and I'm guilty of it as well when I look things up on the internet. We would not be putting anything in the product of any kind that would be anywhere close to causing any issues that you've described. From what I'm remembering, that is a stabilizer, emulsifier that helps in the product, in the stiffness of the product. Maybe we can get your either name or phone number to where I could get someone from the corporate office to reach directly out to you. But I can assure you, especially all that we've been through, that the product that we put out there is extremely safe. It's FDA approved. And I have eaten a bowl of ice cream for now right at 45 years every single night. And I promise that the product is safe. But I appreciate the question.
Yeah, very good question. Thanks, Sue. Well, the book is called One Scoop at a Time. Ricky Dixon, former CEO and president of Bluebell Creameries, Stories and Lessons from Fear to Faith. Go on Amazon and pick up this book. It'll be a blessing to you. Ricky, thanks so much for being my guest today. It's been a great pleasure. And tonight we're going to do this again and have a great time. So Check us out, First Baptist Texarkana. If you can come tonight, we're going to have a lot of fun, 6:30 to 8 o'clock, making a difference at work. Well, we always want to encourage you, shine for Christ and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and know that God will use you as His witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.